Obstinately, the beautiful memories refused to rise. There was only a hateful resurrection of jealousies and uglinesses and miseries. Pope, with the blood trickling down from his cut shoulder, and Linda, hideously asleep, and the flies buzzing round the spilt mescal on the floor beside the bed, and the boys calling those names as she passed. Ah, no, no. He shut his eyes. He shook his head in strenuous denial of these memories. A, B, C, vitamin D. He tried to think of those times when he sat on her knees, and she put her arms about him and sang over and over again, rocking him to sleep. A, B, C, vitamin D, vitamin D, vitamin D. The supervox Wurlitzeriana had risen to a sobbing crescendo, and suddenly the verbena gave place, in the scent-circulating system, to an intense patchouli. Linda stirred, woke up, stared for a few seconds bewilderedly at the semi-finalists, then, lifting her face, sniffed once or twice at the newly perfumed air, and suddenly smiled, a smile of childish ecstasy.
Pope, she murmured, and closed her eyes. Oh, I do so like it. I do.
She sighed, and let herself sink back into the pillows.
But Linda,
the savage spoke imploringly,
don't you know me?
He had tried so hard. He had done his very best. Why wouldn't she allow him to forget? He squeezed her limp hand, almost with violence, as though he would force her to come back from this dream of ignoble pleasures, from these base and hateful memories. Back into the present, back into reality, the appalling present, the awful reality, but sublime, but significant, but desperately important precisely because of the imminence of that which made them so fearful.